Turn, please, to Psalm 125. Psalm 125. It's a section of the Psalms where repeatedly the psalmist is exhorting himself and others to lift up his eyes to the hills, as we know from 121, and also 123 has the same message. It comes under the heading of Psalms of Ascent, and the picture is of God's people making their way to Jerusalem. Their eyes are on the mountains, the hills, and it sets them thinking about where their help comes from. And this Psalm 125 has the same feature again. As you notice, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. Before we move any further, let's turn to God in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you, Lord, that you've spoken a word to your people. You've spoken a word of truth, a word of encouragement, a word of salvation. Grant us, Lord, this morning to hear, and give us hearts, O God, to receive and to believe and to trust in the word which you give to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 125, I believe, goes to first things in faith. It gets central things in the life of the believer. It sets in context, if you like, a challenge to our faith. It challenges you, and it challenges me. In verse 3, the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands unto iniquity. We don't know all the circumstances of Psalm 125, but we know this. We know that the psalmist is faced, he's confronted with all kinds of difficulties. There are issues that he has to deal with. There's a foreign occupation of his land, and God's people are being challenged. They're face to face with the enemy. If it isn't the enemy himself that has come into the land, then paganism is taking over the life of God's people. So here is the psalmist, brief as it is, Psalm 125. He's reminding himself and reminding God's people that God surrounds his people. And that's how he goes on. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. What a word of comfort, challenge, of encouragement, but abides forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people, from henceforth even forever. Words in Matthew 24. Jesus is warning his disciples about what will take place in the last days. Matthew 24 verse 12 he says, because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. And our Lord is warning there about the last days, the last things, and the effect of it upon his own people, upon the church. And he says that lawlessness, rebelliousness against the rule of God, against the might of God, the rejection of the ways of God, and all the rest of it, our Lord is speaking about in Matthew 24. One result of all this is that the love of many will grow cold. And in that passage in Matthew 24, our Lord is encouraging his disciples to prepare themselves for that day. I think, therefore, it's more than timely as we take this psalm and its context and its relevance for ourselves. I don't need to elaborate or even give examples of the way things are in our own land. We see signs all around us of rebellion, rejection. We see the encroachments increasingly of secularism and atheism upon the lives of God's people. We see a picture of what our Lord is speaking about in Matthew 24. And all this and many other things have, if you like, a corroding influence upon the people of God. And here in the middle of it all, the church, you, your testimony, your witness, with the darkness that surrounds you. So it's important for us to understand that what the psalmist is saying here about Mount Zion applies not only to the church of the Old Testament, but to believers in every day, and its application for us today. So when the psalmist is speaking here of Mount Zion, he's got in mind the people of God. He's got in mind you, the church. And look at verse 1 for a moment and see the parallel, the restatement, if you like, in verse 2. He says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. And then he goes on, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. You have this beautiful, this glorious picture of the people of God. That Mount Zion is a picture of God's people. And for us who live under the new covenant, we know that he is with us. He's all around us. John Calvin makes a comment. I quote him, those who may not sufficiently apprehend by faith the secret protection of God, the mountains which surround Jerusalem are exhibited as a mirror in which they may see beyond all doubt that the church is as well defended from all perils as if it was surrounded on all sides with the walls and bulwarks. So follow with me as I just go through this psalm and its relevance and its application for us this morning. It's a psalm that speaks to you, speaks to me. It's an instructive psalm, and to the members of God's church particularly, in a time which the rule of wickedness and of darkness is corroding and corrupting the hearts of God's people. First, the one who trusts in the promises of God has stability. It's the first message. Verse 1 and 2. Those who are trusting in the Lord are like Mount Zion. To stop there just for a moment, think of it. That's where he begins. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. Psalm 121 we read, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills. From whence comes my help? Where does my help come from? He's not talking about the hills themselves or the mountains. He's talking about the Lord. He may well have been momentarily tempted to be looking elsewhere, as we are tempted at times to be looking in all kinds of directions. But here we're told expressly that those who are trusting in the Lord are like Mount Zion. And this is why I said at the beginning that this brings us to the very rudiments of our faith. It begins at the heart, it begins at the center, the Lord, in whom everything is hanging together. It's the Lord, it's not the mountains. It's not the things that are round about. It is not Mount Zion as such. It is the Lord to whom the psalmist is placing his trust. They who trust in the Lord. See how confident he is, how sure he is. And trusting in the Lord is one of the great Old Testament phrases or descriptions, if you like, of what it means to have a personal relationship with the living God. Trusting in the Lord. Do good, we're told, to those who do good, to those who are upright in their heart. Remember Genesis 15 as well, that, and Abraham believed and the Lord credited it to him as righteousness. And there is Abraham, and here is the church. Here are we today, surrounded by opposition, by indifference, faced with all kinds of isms. And a word comes to me, to you. They that trust in the Lord, the stability. To trust in the Lord, to fear the Lord, to love the Lord, to know the Lord, to worship the Lord, to be upright, to be those who do good. It's not a matter of saying, well, I know that God exists. I know that there is a God. James in his epistle chapter 2 says, you believe that God is one, you do well. The demons do also, and they tremble. So to trust in the Lord is not simply writing or putting a tick in a box in a confession of faith. It is this confidence. I'm trusting in this God. And they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion. So they're emphatically in belief. Trusting confidently in the Lord himself. Charles Simeon, he commented on this psalm. He says this, and I quote him, trust in the Lord does not involve a mere general acknowledgement of God as the governor of the universe. It implies far more. It is a deep conviction of his special providence, of his incessant attention to every minute of his people. And that's what trust is. Confidence. It is to believe that God has a special concern for his people, for his church, for you. He's promised in his word, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Whatever the opposition, whatever difficulties, however rough things become, and we know nothing of it in comparison to other places this morning in the world. But they that trust in the Lord. Then he tells us the Lord surrounds his people. So it's not only stability. There is a surrounding, there is a protection. Now I could keep you going all day in this area alone. But I just want to mention briefly the attributes of God. Think of it. Get hold of your scriptures. Get hold of your confession of faith. Remind yourselves of the attributes of God. The being of God. That as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord, He surrounds his people. He surrounds you. It's a beautiful, a glorious image, picture. That when you're in the midst of a trial, when you feel surrounded by enemies galore, when it seems that the lights have gone out, even in your own testimony, your own witness, and when you feel at times that hope is no more, You're surrounded. You're surrounded. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people. You think again of all that he is. He's infinite. He's all-powerful. He's unchanging. This great, almighty God is round about you. It's a picture of being surrounded by Christ. Surrounded by the Lord. What a comfort that is. It's someone who's going through a difficult time. And you come alongside that person and you feel, in a sense, helpless. You've said all the obvious verses of Scripture. And then you come to this and you remind them that the Lord is round about you. God is around you. It's a picture of being surrounded by him. Surrounded by the Lord. Those who trust in the Lord are given stability and surrounding by God. Psalmist goes on then, and he talks about the Lord sustaining his people. Sustaining us. Listen to the language. Verse 1, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. Verse 2, as the mountains around Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth, even forevermore. He's sustaining us. He's sustaining you in whatever you go through. And isn't that what we are needing in times of adversity, in times of difficulty, in times of opposition? It's a word of encouragement. It's a word of promise to his people. It is not only a word of stability. It's not a word just of being surrounded by him. But because of trusting in the Lord, it's a matter of him sustaining you through it. It seems to me that he's telling us a number of things, but let me mention the following. That first of all, and we do fail here, first of all, we need to get and cultivate big views of God. I mean that. We need to cultivate big views of God. When a book was written in the 40s or 50s, I forget when, Your God is Too Small, he was right. In his title, he was a Christian. And what he's saying in the book, in a few words, is that the God that we are portraying is too small. It's a rebuke. And that's very often the case. Those who trust in the Lord, haven't we got a mighty God? Don't we trust in an eternal, unchanging God? Don't we trust in one who has rescued, ransomed, and healed you? Those who trust in the Lord, the psalmist is saying. And you know, if those words don't instill you with encouragement and strength, whatever you experience, whether it's today or tomorrow, next week or next month, we can't keep coming back to this. We're looking to the Lord. We're looking at the Savior. We're having these massive pictures of who our God is. He's the God that walked with Abraham all the way from Ur to the Chaldees into the land of Canaan. He's the God that guided Joseph all the way through his adventures. He's the God of our fathers. He's the God that we trust. And we go back to the scriptures. And we cultivate big views of God. Massive. But there is a second application. Not only are we cultivate big views of God, but let our expectations from him be to the utmost extent of our necessities. Let your expectations from him be to the utmost of your necessities. When you're in trouble, when you're in the furnace, when you have doubts, what is your need at that moment? Have you spoken it? Have you brought it to the Lord? Have you cried out to the Lord, trusting in? Have you laid before him your utmost need, your utmost necessity, whatever that is? And have you expected from him that he will meet your need? One of our ladies has been in hospital for 2 weeks. I saw her on Wednesday afternoon. She'd just been told that she had cancer. And it had really rocked her. And she'd spoken only a few days before with me about the trauma of just being in hospital. You may know something about that. And the kind of loneliness that there is in the hospital. And the waiting after scan and x-rays and whatever else goes on. Just waiting. And I spoke to her about this very thing. They that trust in the Lord. Around us we have this great almighty God. And you know, there's no effect that can be greater than its cause. And if we know this morning that we're trusting in him, he can meet with us. Not necessarily remove it. In this lady's case, not removing the cancer, but being round about her. The expectations of God. So we need big views of God and our Saviour. Now we're told you have not because you ask not. James says something similar, doesn't he? Think of John 14, about letting not your heart be troubled and so on. You know it so well. The psalmist is saying here, look, test the Lord. Prove him. Prove God. And what he's saying, I'm telling you, that you are, who are trusting in him shall be as Mount Zion. Strong. You cannot be removed. You cannot. You cannot be obliterated. You cannot change. Because the mountains that are round about Jerusalem, the Lord is around you. This great God is around you. In other words, Psalm 125, trust me, he says. Trust me, I'm good for this. Whatever you go through, trust him. And get big views of God. And trust him to be the uttermost in your necessities. Because he is God. He is God. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for your word, and thank you, Lord, that the way you encouraged your servants down through the ages. We thank you, Lord, it's a word we often need to be reminded of, we need to hear it. We're very quick, Lord, to try and develop devices for our own protection. We look here, we look there, we resort to all kinds of things, we hear the voices that distract us in all kinds of ways. But Lord, there is no circumstance. Lord, there is no circumstance that is greater than you. So there's no situation, Lord, in which we cannot trust you. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us to know this. Not just quoting verses of Scripture, but Lord, that we will know it in our experience, that you are the greatest one. And nothing, nothing is impossible with you. In Jesus' name, amen.